Good afternoon. It is 12:02. Yeah, that's right. I knew that. I'm Eric Scott. Hello there. Somehow my headphones got unplugged, which is probably why I was having trouble hearing. Interesting. Anyway, thank you very much for being with us today. Wait a minute. There we are. I knew something was wrong. I couldn't figure out what it was. Thank you for being with us today. It's Eric Scott, 12:02, almost 12:03 now. And it is the last Thursday of the month. And that means the man with all the answers, the Phineas J. Whoopi of the Lakes region, it's Brian DeShays. Mr. DeShays, welcome to WASR.
No, thank you for having me, Eric. I don't know if I'm Phineas J. Whoopi, but I'm trying.
Well, you remember the cartoon, right?
Yes.
Yeah. For those of you who don't, look up Tennessee Tuxedo Cartoons. There we go. It's a lot of fun. Okay. So the first thing, we'll start with some of the things that the Board of Selectmen have been doing in the past month. And it's funny, we were just talking off air that they assume this is 4 hours a week, you say, right?
Yes, 4 hours a week is what you're allotted as time to work as a selectman.
It must have taken you 4 hours to put these notes together.
Probably.
It's just, you know, it is the way it is. I'm sure it's not going to change anytime soon. Let's start with something that I've heard on our sports show, Mike and the Hoss, some projects to the ice rink, which looks like it needs some.
Yeah, that's
some work.
That's going to be one of our next big project before we go on to fire and police station. It needs to have all the systems updated. It needs to have the roof repaired. It needs to have insulation installed. They've been talking for years about new dressing rooms because there isn't enough room. There are times when there's tournaments and kids are changing their uniforms out in the hallways. There is going to be some slight rate increases too, because they haven't had a rate increase since 2018, and anybody who's, you know, understands anything is things have gone up since 2018.
Sure.
In the last 3 years, things have gone up considerably. Sure. So engineering is being done on it right now, and my boys skated and played there, and let's have it go forward, because I mean the mountain is getting better. There's more snowmaking that's being put in, more trails opened. Our cross-country trails are expanding. They have the new lodge there. It's really turned into a wonderful place for kids to spend winter time.
The town has snowmaking capabilities?
Oh, yeah.
I was not aware of that.
Oh, yes.
See, I'm not a skier.
Yeah, and they're expanding it so that the more trails will be open for a longer period of time. And it's nice because it's on a shady side of the mountain, so they get snow there pretty quickly, and it stays there quite a long time.
Longer. Yeah.
And it's wonderful to see all the kids from, first grade up, go there in the afternoons. I remember the passes were $20 a year at one time. I don't know if they've gone up to 20 or 30 or what they are now. But it's every day they can go and they can ski and they can have a hot dog and see their friends and get some outside exercise during the winter. It's wonderful. Mm-hmm. It really is.
That's fantastic. You know, I got to tell you, before we go on with things, I've been doing this a very, very long time. And I've talked to a lot of elected officials over the years. I rarely see anybody with as much passion as you have for this.
Well,
you really do put your whole self into this.
Well, and there's other things too, like the rink. It's kind of in disrepair, and people come from other towns and they look at it, and sometimes they roll their eyes. But you know what they all say? We have the best ice in the state. So kudos,
the ice making works.
Kudos to our employees who run the place and give the best sheet for the kids to
good
play
for
on.
Them.
Yes,
good for them. All right.
Making diamonds out of coal.
Speaking of coal and carbon, we're talking about carbon emissions from electric vehicles. You see quite a few of them now, and it's funny as someone who, this is only my second summer here at Wolfboro, and I'm still amazed. It was like, oh, okay, I'm driving down the street. Oh, a Lamborghini. Okay. Oh, all right. You know, I saw a Ferrari yesterday.
A dozen Model A's.
Yeah, I saw two of those this morning driving to work.
I don't know where it is. I haven't had time to look it up, but
there must be a group of them in town.
I think they're having their national show somewhere local, because I've seen a dozen of them parked and driving around Wolfboro. So usually when there's a national specialty or a national show event for a certain model or type car, that's when you see them all flock.
And this, I saw them on 28 today in Alton.
Yeah.
It was coming in. It was like, oh, wow. It's not something you see every day.
No.
It's pretty cool. Anyway, so along with that, we were seeing a lot more Teslas, or more generically electric vehicles, even though Tesla seems to have a huge piece of the market. And there are, as we've talked about before, ways to try to put in more electric charging capability.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if I asked you this last month, and if I did, please forgive me. Where would they go?
They're going to be, we have the new, and this is a beautiful building. They've taken the old storage building, and it's behind, when you drive in, it's on Railroad Ave, it's behind the Chamber of Commerce, and it has been lifted, it has had a new foundation put on it, it's had new siding put on it, and there's a group of people that are going to be putting a Wolfboro History and Train Museum in that building. And it's a project that's going to take them about 5 years, and it is going to be unbelievable, interactive for the kids, high tech, so that they can come in and they can see the town of Wolfboro on a train layout and operate the trains and do all sorts of things. It's going to be fantastic. And there'll be Wolfboro History also in the building. On the back side of that building is an area where we're going to put two EV chargers. The lot is going to be paved, and we're running a dedicated power line for a future gazebo on Back Bay for a viewing area and stuff for when they do the water ski events, because we have water ski events in Back Bay, and people don't even realize it, that are world class. Some of the best skiers in the country, in the world, come to participate in our events.
I did not know that.
No. People don't know. We used to have a croquet course that was in Clark Plaza. And people didn't realize that the second or third best croquet player, he was an older gentleman, in the world, played on our course and lived in the local area.
Huh.
And they had tournaments there. So there's a lot of things that the more you live here and the more you get involved, the more things you find out. But so the EV chargers are going to go behind that train building, and they're going to be what we call destination chargers, a level two chargers for any kind of electric vehicle, whether it be a Prius plug-in, a Nissan Leaf, or the top-of-the-line Tesla.
Okay. Now, it's probably way too early to have made this decision, but do you have an idea what it would cost to fill up your EV?
Yes. We're going to charge what our municipal electric rate is. Right now it's 13.7 cents a kilowatt. We're not going to upcharge, at least this is what the committee has talked about. We're not going to upcharge customers. The average rate in the state for paid services is 29 or 39 cents a kilowatt. So we're going to do it as a town service. It's not going to cost the town any additional money. The chargers and their installation is going to be on donation money. A charge will probably cost a full charge we're probably going to limit it to 2 hour charging per car. And a 2 hour charge for a car that will give them 60 miles worth of range will be about $3.
Okay. That's not bad.
No, it's half the price of gasoline.
Yeah.
If you have a 30 mile per gallon car and you're paying $3 a gallon gas to get your same 60 miles, you'd pay double. So it's close enough that they'll have availability to go to restaurants and to downtown while their car charges and see our wonderful businesses and support our community.
That's fantastic. Has there been a discussion of ways to enforce the two-hour limit?
This is all done with the software management from the company.
Okay, so it just stops charging.
And they do things like they'll notify the person on their phone with a text message, your charging session is complete, please move your car, and things like that.
No kidding.
Yeah, and people are generally very cognizant of this, and they follow the rules. the people charging, because they know that there are other people coming along that will need to, you know, put some electric in their carts too.
If you're curious about darn near anything that happens in Wolfboro, the man sitting across the table from me has the answer. His name is Brian DeShays, and if you'd like to speak to him, you can at 569 Lake. That's 569-5253. Little bit of drama going on with the Cable Franchise Committee. I was looking at the notes here. The agreement has expired, and before everybody goes, that really doesn't mean a whole lot. It just means you have to keep negotiating, right?
Yeah. I was, like you just said, oh, no, we're going to expire. And I was asked to participate in the committee in March when I was elected as a selectman. And it is a confusing committee. There is a lot of technical information, and a franchise agreement with a cable company is a big undertaking. That being said, when you have an agreement, if you can't forge a new agreement with the cable company, service and life goes on as normal.
Right.
Until you can iron out the specifics of the agreement. There are some towns in the state that are 2 to 3 years working on their agreement still. So nobody has to worry that their TV is in jeopardy or anything like that. And the town is working diligently to make sure that any agreement we sign is beneficial, not in any way detrimental to anybody in the town.
Well, let's start with that. What are some of the things that you would like to see in the next franchise agreement?
Well, and again, this is new to me, and I'm starting to learn a lot about it.
I understand.
But it is getting full service to the outlying parts of town. We just completed a build out on Brown Ridge Road. So that gives a whole new cable system to Brown Ridge Road, which we know is way out on the Ossipee side of town. And so it's expanding the system to cover the outlying areas. Sometimes there'll be houses down a class 5 or class 6 road, and it doesn't make sense to run, you know, a quarter of a mile of cable for one house.
Right.
So we're working on ways to get everybody connected right now. And we do have a very, very high percentage. I believe it's like 97% coverage in the town for cable right now.
Now, with cable comes internet.
Correct.
Right. So I'm sure those people are pretty excited to get
and people have
high-speed
to do it.
Internet.
People do have to understand, though, that our cable franchise agreement is only for TV. So when they see that, it doesn't affect the internet portion of it. That is a whole different ballgame that is dealt, you know, that...
Right.
We deal with.
Even though it shows up on one bill, you write one check, you buy it from the same company.
Yes.
But they're, legally, they're two entirely different things.
Correct.
In fact, even the FCC has different departments to regulate each particular one.
And that's when you become Phineas J. Whoopi.
Yeah.
Because you know a lot more about the communications industry than I do.
Yeah, well, that could be true, but you know more about what's going on in town than I do, so... anyway, and now it's funny because this whole thing in 10 years could be moot with 5G coming.
Yeah, and people are always saying, well, why don't we have other options? Well, we do have consolidated communications.
Yes.
But if you check their speeds for their internet and their offerings for their TV, and I've priced them myself. Okay. I actually had them come and wire my house and have it ready, and... Cable for me personally was still a better deal. I need a high bandwidth at the house for my wife, right, who works out of the house, and it was still a good deal. So there is I have someone in my neighborhood who still has a landline through Consolidated Communications. So it is an available option if it's there. But we're hoping that 5G comes down the road and then everything becomes wireless, and that would give us another option. There's also StarNet, I believe, is the name of it, by Elon Musk.
Yes.
He has put so many
Starlink.
He has put so many satellites up that they say with a telescope you can see what you think are shooting stars, and it is a ton of satellites just flying around the Earth.
I've heard that. He's already launched what 90 something of them.
Yeah.
In a low Earth orbit.
Yeah.
Much like DirecTV, your Dish Network,
yep,
has high power satellites.
And he's looking to do a full internet and TV service just like the others, but he says that he's going to dwarf what Dish and DirecTV do.
Hmm. Well, they don't provide internet service, actually.
No, they don't.
They have deals with, I think it's HughesNet.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is not a knock against them, but it's very expensive.
It's the upload that's very slow.
Right. And I'm wondering about that with satellite as well. You know, Musk may be a genius.
Yep.
Or he's a certified nutcase, or both.
Yes.
You know, one of the two.
He's a mad scientist.
Yeah, there you go. He's a mad scientist. Actually, I think he is. But it's going to be interesting to see what happens with that in, you know, just a few years. People say, well, you know, some people like to update their cell phone every year, but I think the next couple of years are going to be some huge disruptions.
Yeah. And people, it's hard when you're a citizen and you don't, and I'm trying to work at getting more information to people. Because I, like everybody, I used to say, the internet's down again. The TV's down again. And little lo and behold, I find out that our town manager and our board of selectmen and our cable franchise committee, what do you think they've been doing the last 2 years? Holding Atlantic Broadband's feet to the fire and saying, you need to limit the amount of outages we have. And telling them that you need to up your customer service. People shouldn't wait 40 minutes when they make a phone call. And we've managed to have it so that the amount of time that someone's on the phone trying to get service or report something has gone down drastically. So things are going in the right direction. And the town, wow, they actually are doing the right thing and trying to help the citizens of Wolfboro. They're trying to get a better deal for you and trying to make it work better for you. We only have so much control. We can't be on the other end answering the phone for Atlantic Broadband. But this is what they're asking of them, and this is some of the information that's in the new agreement.
Is it too early to ask, or is there a couple of main sticking points? You know, where are you particularly far apart on?
It's beyond my scope.
Okay, that's fine.
Right now. We're having another session soon, and... I guess it's about expanding the system and these issues, making sure that people have better customer service and that going down the road, the cable company, you know, supports and services the people in the town better than they have in the past.
12:20 on WASR. Welcome to Thursday afternoon. Just a little program note, 4 o'clock this afternoon, Mike Danae and Charlie Hossack, Mike and the Hoss. Live sports here on WASR. It's a lot of fun. If you've never listened to the show, I think you'll enjoy it, even if you're not a sports fan. I mean, I'm not a huge sports fan, and I like the show. So there you go. Board of Selectmen meeting, a couple of things going on. There was a little bit of an issue with the mailboats.
Well, it's not the mailboats. We did an oopsie.
It happens.
This is okay. We've had some local businesses come and they've applied for 15-minute to half an hour drop-off and pickups for a couple different businesses, for tours of the lake or for wakeboarding and water sports things. Well, we ended up finding out that there's not enough dock space. Oops. So we're given permits, and then people are saying, we don't have enough space. The dock's too high. It's this and that. So now we have to, we're addressing this. We're in the next couple meetings, and we're going to have to create another space, just moving some boats around, moving the electrical boat that we have and the mail boat, and making space for these vessels to land and load and unload. Because you want to support the local businesses as best you can. And maybe down the road, modifying the dock. A little bit of history, ended up finding out. The Millie B, do you know what the Millie B is? It is the race boat. It's the old Laker.
I was going to say, I've heard the name, but it's not coming to me.
It's the old Laker that is owned by the Winnipesaukee Antique Boat Museum. and they give rides. It's a nonprofit like the whole museum is, and they give rides around the bay and a history of Wolfboro to people when they go for their rides. They went to the town in the 90s and said, we want to do this. Actually, it was the previous owner who did that. And the town said, well, we don't have any place for you. They paid to have the dock renovated to their liking so that they could fit their craft in there. And the town has leased them that spot ever since. So now we have to decide, like the hacker's license in town, how many vessels are we going to allow to come to the docks? How many spaces can we make available to them? And when do we have to put a cap on it? Because we couldn't have 25 more companies coming to us and saying, hey, I need a spot, I need a spot, I need a spot, I need a spot.
Right.
So we're going to take care of the companies that we issued permits for this year, and then we're going to have meetings later in the year, next year, and put a permanent solution together.
Okay. Now, that has nothing to do with the, so really, the existing Mount Washington.
No.
And its new sister boat, whose name escapes me.
Yeah, there's the Winnie Bell that comes to the dock from the Wolfboro Inn. There's the Mount Washington. There's the Millie B. We have the dive boat, which is the mail boat. We have the fire boat, and we have the electrical department has a boat because when electric goes out on the islands, they got to get out and service them.
Right.
So with a little shift of the electric boat, we'll be able to accommodate somebody. There already is a 15-minute docking space there, so that will be accommodated. So we're going to, by shifting the electric boat, we're going to make another space for this year. This is all in discussions, so this isn't etched in stone yet, but this is what we're working on. And then going forward, we're going to look at, can we do a modification so that we have some good permanent commercial, more commercial docking, and where's the limit? When do we stop?
Okay. And on that subject, it says here there's a bond issue that's been floated for electric service project and dock repairs.
Oh, yeah, that is... That has already been done. That's what repaired the docks that we have now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the town uses a lot of, or we have recently, we used bonds for large repairs like the docks and things like that. Interest rates at 2.25% and 10-year bonds to pay off so that we don't have to wait another 15 years when you have an issue with... needing dock repairs because the docks are in, getting to be in shabby condition. If anybody's gone down and looked, the docks are coming out beautiful.
That's what I've heard.
Yes.
I've been down there last week. We had a nice day and just kind of sat there. And
yep.
You get into the zen of it. You really do.
Yep.
It's a lot of fun. Brian Deshaies is my guest today, 569 Lake. Granite Man was canceled.
Yep.
What happened?
Well, We spent as a town, and it was all appropriated through warrant articles. We spent $500,000 redoing Kerry Beach. We made it so it has a handicap accessible ramp. We have a special wheelchair
nice.
With large tires so that people can be wheeled all the way down into the water. There was a lot of work done on the engineering so that there would be less runoff into the beach, so that we would have less bacteria get into the beach and have, occasionally during the summer, you have a shutdown because you have a dry period of time, then heavy rains wash all the shore contaminants into the water. So there's been a lot done on it, and the parking lot was made a little bit smaller doing this. So the Granite Man needed more time to figure out where their parking was going to be. They didn't want their new infrastructures to get damaged and everything. So going forward, they're going to try and put a new plan together. And I offered to... I live in a private association right by the beach area, and I told them that with a vote of our association, and I think our association would say yes, that we could help with some of the off-site parking. And they said that that's something they're going to look towards next year.
Okay. Other things going on, the model railroad?
Yep, that was the that's the building that where we're going to put the EV chargers.
That's where the right.
Yep, they came and gave us a nice update with sketches and pictures, and you can go to the town hall and you can get copies of it if you want to see it. It's going to be a phenomenal building because it's a historic building. They're actually building a building inside of a building, so the train they can't put permanent walls, so they're putting all temporary walls up with big glass windows, and eventually the layout will be inside a building inside a building with the museum around it. It's going to be fantastic.
Really? Oh, that's interesting. Okay. Couple of other things going on, including the business survey that went out to a lot of the members.
Yeah, the EDC sent out a business survey just to find out from people, they're finding out how many employees they have, how many full-time employees, how many part-time employees, and all this information to find out what our workforce is and how we can support our workforce in town.
Okay.
So
in what kind of way, by supporting your workforce?
Well, to find out how many temporary employees do we have in town, how many permanent employees do we have in town, how many have living wages. How can we get businesses into town that maybe support longer term wages, like GI Plastics, that has right now it has a need for employees all year long. So that's the kind of thing that they're looking at to see how can we make it so that we have we can sustain having our young people stay here. I know that my son has a master's degree in finance and a undergraduate degree in analytics and finance. He is moving to New Jersey.
Really?
Because he needs to start his career in finance and analytics, and that doesn't happen in Wolfboro.
Yeah, that's true. It's one of the highest tax states in the country. New Jersey.
It is.
Well, I hope he's happy there.
Yeah.
The short-term rental issue, I noticed, appears to be, well, it, as you probably know, was a bit of a kerfuffle up in Conway.
Yes.
However, this has discussed it but didn't take a stance. So for right now...
The EDC is talking about it. The town is talking about it. I see a conundrum, and this is just my opinion. I see a conundrum because people have been renting their waterfront homes for 100 years up here.
Right.
And a lot of them keep their small camps with $12,000 or $15,000 a year taxes by renting for 10 weeks during the summer.
Right.
And it was passed down to them from parents, from grandparents to them. And so there's a necessity for that. But we don't want to get into a situation where neighborhoods start getting infiltrated with lots and lots of short-term rentals, because that could have a negative effect on our people who live here year-round.
How would that be? I mean, besides the obvious, the noise and, you know, things like that.
If there's a constant flow and people have the availability, if they see 12 people staying in a three-bedroom house,
mm-hmm.
They have the ability to call the town. If people are being noisy past 9:30 at night or 10 o'clock at night, they have the ability to call the town. But do you want neighbors calling neighbors about noise and problems and this and that? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there are things that can happen. But remember, people also have a right to use their property as they want to use their property.
Exactly.
And that was the conundrum that happened in Conway. So I think there are ways to do this and protect as many people as you need to. We have Huggins Hospital in Brewster that uses rentals all the time, just for the summers. They have people that teach just for the school year. They have doctors that are floating doctors that spend a month here at this hospital, 2 months at this hospital, 2 months at Huggins, and they need to rent. We just had someone buy in our neighborhood, and they are doctors, and they've told us they're only going to be there half the time. because they go to different hospitals. But they had the availability to buy a place, and they wanted to. We want to make sure that, I mean, there are areas where, let's put Port Wedland there. They've had an issue. Now, they didn't put anything in their bylaws years ago saying no short-term rentals. There are times when they'll have a dozen houses or half dozen houses rented that should have 5 occupants, and they have 15 occupants, and they end up with 75 people down at their beach area. And they have no way to manage that.
Okay.
It becomes that they have more, you know, they have more wear and tear on their docks, on their beaches. They have to have extra barrels put down there for garbage. They have to clean errant trash that goes in the water and stuff like that.
Maybe the answer would be a permit, much like you have a dump permit or a library card.
Yep.
You know, It's just an idea, came off the top of my head.
And sometimes if you use Airbnb, the short-term rentals are paying the same room and tax that an inn does.
Right.
If you use some of the other platforms, they're not. So the town is losing potential, room and meal tax revenue, right, of which when it goes to the state, 40% comes back to your community.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So there's a lot of reasons. To just look at it and try and think of some rational solutions. One rational solution that I thought of is any house that has its own dedicated waterfront should be able to rent, as long as they follow the regulations and they pay their 8% or 6.5%, whatever it is now, it goes up and down, room and meals tax. Maybe commercial areas, again, they can do it. But maybe in residential single-family homes, the rental has to be over 3 months. The state of New Hampshire, I believe, says that it's 86 days. Anything under 86 days is a short-term rental.
Okay.
So maybe in residential areas, you'd have to say that any rental has to be at least 3 months.
Okay. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, because, you know. But then in Florida, people go down and rent houses all winter long in Florida, don't they? But they rent them for 6 months at a time.
Right. We don't really see a lot of that here, though, do we?
There aren't many people that come up here and rent a whole place for just the summer.
Right.
Because it's much more lucrative for someone to rent it by the week.
Makes sense.
If you're going to charge by the month, you're not going to get you can get 20 for a small cottage in town on the water. You can get $2,500 or $3,000 a week.
And, really?
Yeah.
Has it gone up that high?
Yeah. And so are you going to charge $12,000 a month?
No, you're not.
Yeah.
So
it, okay. But at least it's something that everybody is looking at considering. And I implore upon, and a lot of our neighborhoods are, associations. Take care of it internally. That's your first course of action.
It's funny. I was just going to ask you that. Doesn't HOA, just as a matter of policy, have the authority to regulate their own short-term rentals?
Correct. But you have to make sure that everybody in the HOA, it's going to have to be, generally, I think it's a 66% vote to change a bylaw. Like in our, we have a private association, two roads with 20 houses. And it takes 66% of the people to agree to a bylaw change that would make it so that short-term rentals are not allowed in your neighborhood.
Okay, and you probably wouldn't get that for a vote.
It depends where you are.
Well, right, but I think more often than not, in my
neighborhood, we probably would because we don't have any waterfront property. But I can see associations that have a common waterfront area. It would be difficult because there are people that are using short-term rentals again to support their taxes.
Right. I was going to say that directly affects the town because otherwise they may not be able to pay the taxes.
Correct.
I know quite a few people who have to rent for that exact reason.
Yeah.
On the good news side of the ledger, the 4th of July parade.
Everything is on and open, and we are having a 4th of July festival.
Yes, we are.
Yep.
Tell us about it.
The 2nd at 9:30 at night, am I right for the time, there's a big banner. I was tapped to have a big banner made, and there's going to be a big banner up at Pickering Corner, which is where 28 and 109 meet, right by the Brewster Field. And we're going to have fireworks on the 2nd. On the 3rd, there's going to be a boat parade that starts at the Libby Museum and goes around through Wolfboro Bay. There's going to be a ferry walk on the 3rd in the morning that goes down the Bridge Falls path where little kids can find the ferry houses. There's going to be a car show at the Nick on the Saturday. And on Sunday at 1 o'clock, a little bit later than usual because they wanted to make room, time for people to go to church and to have a parking ban, because there's going to be a parking ban from Old Lakeview Terrace all the way to Clark Plaza, so no cars on the side of the streets, so that people can spread out, watch the parade, have better view, more safety, and still social distance if people want to. And so that parade will be going on at 1 to 3, and the parking ban is 11 to 3 or 11 to 4. And Molly the Trolley graciously has cut their rate to half price, and they're going to be shuttling people from the high school down to the parade area back and forth for people that need help and can't walk the distance to see the parade.
Nice.
Or can't find parking in the town area.
I like Molly. She's cute.
Molly's good.
All right. Thanks for listening this afternoon. It's 12:38. Yes, we will eventually get to the beach issue. Because that seems to be a gigantic thing here. There were some budget issues, too, that got kind of thrown around at the last one. And it was, for instance, the police budget is climbing higher than the town budget.
Yeah, and I've started to look at that closely. If you add a couple of officers to the payroll, we know payroll is
right.
That becomes a huge expense.
Sure.
The if you look at 10 years ago, the cost of a cruiser, I mean, that is, what did an if you look at even what a new car cost 10 years ago to a new car today, it's a 25% increase. Now a cruiser is more than that. So there's been a lot of increases in their budget that end up skewing their budget higher. I hope that the budget committee explains that to me more, because I am just the representative from the Board of Selectmen there. It's their job to know why that budget went up 66% compared to the town budget going up 30%.
Well, you just outlined a couple of
reasons. So, I mean, it's fine to say that, okay, their budget has gone way up. We need to look at this. Well, let's look at it.
Right.
And tell me why, and tell the people in town right. why.
So it's not necessarily a bad thing. Let's just find out what's behind it.
No, I mean, our officers work hard, work long hours. They have good equipment. Not always. I mean, sometimes they're driving around in 10- and 11-year-old cruisers with lots of miles on them and way more time idling.
Yeah.
Which is wear and tear. And so, yeah, I mean, I love our police force. I think they do a great job. I mean, the same way we could look at the, and I haven't seen it, but we could look at the fire department budget in the last 10 years. And if you buy a $1.3 million fire truck, do you think your budget went up?
Well, yeah, that's true. But if I remember right, there was money put away for that.
Yeah, we put it away all those years. But still, I mean, you know, if you have a big expense, your budget's going to go up.
Right.
They have just said that they're not going to ask for another cruiser next year because they got the Tesla cruiser as a donation.
Mm-hmm.
So that cruiser that they were going to get next year, which is $60,000+, is going to drop off the books.
Okay.
So it's nice to say, this is this. Let's explain it to me, please.
Right.
Educate me so I understand, you know, what is the issue. There was another issue where a gentleman on the budget committee said that he wanted the Chamber of Commerce to give all their financials to the town of Wolfboro, the only department that didn't. And then I found out, no, that wasn't the case. There was at least one other nonprofit that is funded by the town in some way that doesn't give their financials separately to the town. They're built into the town budget. The gentleman said, I asked him, I said, so how much does the town fund him? And he said, $23,000. And I was like, that doesn't seem right to me. And my other Board of Selectmen member with me at the meeting said, no, it's only $6,000. And then he was like, well, no, we $2,500 for fireworks. Well, no, that doesn't come out of that. Comes out of Parks and Rec budget. Well, this, so again, if you're going to look at a group, a department, a committee in town, we have to make sure we know all the information. Have our I's dotted and our T's crossed and understand. So it ended up being a 30-minute conversation and then 14 emails the next day over a $6,000 budget from the Chamber of Commerce that we know they don't spend frivolously. You know what I mean?
But you still had to take a look at it.
Yeah. Okay. And it's good that it's looked at, but let's spend our time wisely. Let's spend our time where we can save money instead of our time over a $6,000 budget that Chamber of Commerce uses correctly and has for years.
I know we talked about it, but I want to go back over it just very briefly, the Children's Center Fairy Walk.
Yes.
Only because it's just it's such a cool thing for the little kids to do.
Yep.
Sometimes in a place like this, the little kids get forgotten.
Yep.
You know?
And so, yeah, it's on the Bridge Falls path, and I believe it starts at
9 o'clock.
Yeah, 9 o'clock, and I thought it was at Foss Field. I'm not 100% sure, but yeah, it's 9 a.m. So anybody can just contact the Children's Center, and it's 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. on the 3rd, and the kids will be going down the Bridge Falls path. It was the same as it was last year, and they'll be able to find the fairy houses, and it's a neat little event. Some of the people at the last town meeting were saying that they were going with their grandkids and they thought it was going to be a lot of fun because they had done it before.
That's great.
So it's a good thing.
Yeah, I like that. I'll have to make sure we keep that too and talk more about that on the air here at WASR. All right, it's 12:44. Let's talk about the 800-pound gorilla in the room, which are the beaches.
Yeah, the beaches. And this is something we are having a public forum Tuesday, July 27th, and a rain date, July 29th at 6 p.m. at Foss Field at the Pavilion right on Lerner Street. So all the public is invited to come. Bring your lawn chairs. We've invited anybody from town or from out of town to sit down, and we're going to talk about Albee Beach, Carey Beach, and Brewster Beach. The Albee State Park is different. It's a state park. We don't have any control over that.
Right.
I believe you call the state park, you make reservations, you go. I think there's a $4 fee or something per car, and you can go to the beach. That's a state organization. And people get confused about that sometimes because they think that that's
right, because it's in Wolfboro.
It's in Wolfboro.
It's the town.
Yes.
But it's not.
Yeah. Route 28 is a state highway.
Right.
Albee Beach is a state park. So we have a whole bunch of questions. Should the town of Wolfboro have a uniform policy for all beach parking lots? Should the town of Wolfboro have separate policies for some beaches? Should the town of Wolfboro restrict the beach parking lots to residents only? Should we have the restriction to residents, taxpayers, guests, and commercial businesses? Taxpayer, aren't they a resident? Not necessarily. What if
right.
it's their second home?
Right. And commercial businesses are taxpayers.
Correct. Should the town of Wolfboro Beach parking lots be open to the general public? And I see out of this, I think we need to create, again, a sensible hybrid model where, yes, maybe the residents of Wolfboro, and that would be anybody who owns a house, owns a business, you know, anybody who pays taxes in town. Maybe there are times when there's residents only, maybe one day a week, maybe one afternoon a week. Maybe the parking lots have a certain number of dedicated spots for non-resident parking. so that maybe if you have four spots, you look at the percentage. Okay, say we have 50 spots at a beach to park. Maybe you give 5% of them to people from out of town who aren't residents. Maybe you have days where you only have guests have limited use. There's a lot of ways that you can crack this. You don't have to just say our beaches are only for Wolfboro residents. Our beaches are for everybody.
Well, what's the current policy?
The current policy right now is Brewster Beach is open to everyone, and Cary Beach and Albee Beach are open to town residents only.
Not taxpayers, residents.
They say Wolfboro residents only, but by Wolfboro residents only, they mean Wolfboro residents and their guests. So okay. I believe if you stay at the Wolfboro Inn, you can get a pass to go to the beach.
Okay.
Even though they have their own little beach. If you stay at a rented house and the person who has the rented house has a beach pass, that person renting can use it. If you go to Wolfboro to visit family, you can use the family's pass. So it makes it so that family, guests, friends, people staying in cottages that they rent, people staying at the inn or at Pickering House all have availability to go to the beaches.
Which makes perfect sense.
It does.
But I'm just thinking of the second homeowners.
Yeah.
Who pay the same taxes that
yeah,
you do.
They are Wolfboro residents. They're allowed to use it.
They are residents.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I wasn't sure if because they didn't get here.
When you go to our town dump on a Saturday or Sunday, there'll be a line of 12 cars, and there'll be 4 New Hampshire license plates.
But they'll all have dump stickers.
But they'll all have dump stickers because they own a residence in the town. They pay taxes. They're entitled to all the services of the town.
And that makes perfect sense. The problem is the parking is so restricted. You know, we just don't have the space.
Yeah, the beach parking is as much as, you know, as we can fit in.
Right.
And so that's why they put a little information shack at Cary Beach, and at Brewster Beach this year, we're going to have trash receptacles. We're putting up cameras because Brewster and the residents on Clark Road were a little put aback last year because the beach was very, very crowded. And I don't know how it's going to be this year. I walk through Sewell Woods because my house abuts Sewell Woods, and I've noticed less foot traffic so far this year than last year during the pandemic. Doesn't mean that the beach is going to be less crowded, but there was incidences of people not using the bathroom facilities correctly, people throwing trash everywhere, jet skis coming too close to the shore. There were a lot of things that were happening, especially at Brewster Beach. So the police now have their electric bicycle. So they're going to be doing more drive-bys to make sure the beach is in good shape. We're going to have a parking lot attendant. We're going to have more trash receptacles. And there's going to be cameras there to supervise so that if there's an issue, we can now make sure that we understand what's happening.
Should that be done at the other beaches as well?
We may have to if they're opened up to the general public for people coming out of town. Again, we don't know why the issues were at Cary Beach. Were they residents? Were they not residents? You know, was it just because all of a sudden there were a lot more? I mean, there was a huge real estate boom in town. Maybe it was new people. Maybe it was just overcrowding. We're not sure. And this is something that you don't want to condemn one group or another group. I visited a lot of public beaches in my life, and I've always been a good citizen when I went.
Mm-hmm.
And I think most people are. So it's something that we just have to watch. And this is what the forum is to get the, because guess what? Who does this affect? The people who live in town and the people who come to town. So anybody who wants to come to the forum and voice their opinion can come and they can say, this is what we need, this is what we want.
Well, that makes sense. But it's I'm trying to picture in my head this gathering at the pavilion.
Yep.
When they ask questions and yep. things like that, and they the people will be voting on these things.
Well, the people will be asking questions. This is
a
just
question and answer period.
This is just a question and answer period where people will be asking questions because that way we're going to get a general consensus of what the people in town want, at least the vocal people.
Right.
And hopefully the people that come that are vocal are the people that use the facilities, understand what the problem is, and have solutions that come forward to us. Mm-hmm. People, the public has a right for their input. That's what town government's all about.
Right. All right. 12:52 here on WASR. Brian Deshaies is my guest, as always. And you still got time to get in if you want to. 569-5253. We're talking right now about the public forum late next month. There's also, and I know that we had touched on it very briefly, which we'll get to in a few minutes, I think, the rates for the ice rink.
Okay.
But for right now, let's kind of finish this one up. Those of you who have any questions, there's a phone number, 569-8161, regarding this public hearing, which is admittedly a little late in the season, but it's hard to do an outdoor meeting, you know, outside of, in April.
Well,
it still gets cold.
For the beaches, the reason why, and some people said there were some public input that said we need to do this sooner rather than later, but we didn't know what the beaches were going to be like this year.
Right.
Compared to last year. Last year may have been a real anomaly. And because of COVID and the pandemic, I mean, every boat, the last 2 years, every boat that every dealership can get, every marina is gone. Mm-hmm. You know, cars are all gone. The real estate market has been tipped upside down. So what we wanted to do is we wanted to see what happened in July this year. Was it the same as last year, or was that a one-year thing? And then we could make a more informed decision. Is this something that's going to be the same going forward, or was it just a one-year occurrence?
Okay.
So, I have to do one thing first.
Yes.
Before we go any further.
Sure.
The fireworks that we're having in town on the 2nd, just so everybody knows, and they're at 9 o'clock, I believe, 9 or 9:30. Let's say 9 o'clock so people don't show up late. It is due to the fact that a gentleman in town who owns Wolfboro Jet Ski Rentals, his name is Nate Druin, and I started approaching fireworks companies and bumped into him through Atlas Fireworks.
Oh, they're one of the best.
Yes, and thank you. We did a good job. And Nate had already had the preliminary talks with Atlas and was booking for the 2nd. And when I found that out from Atlas, I contacted Nate and said, Nate, can the town of Wolfboro, if the other board of selectmen want to and we can agree upon it, can we help you with the fireworks? And Nate said, absolutely, 1,000%. And so that's how the partnership came between Wolfboro Jet Ski Rentals and the town of Wolfboro to have the fireworks. And according to the Atlas Fireworks Company, this is going to be the largest display that Wolfboro has ever seen.
That's fantastic.
It's going to be a barge in the middle of the bay, so it will have, they're saying, better viewing than usual. And it's going to be, and I wanted to give a shout out to Nate and Wolfboro Jet Ski Rentals because they made it happen as much as anybody.
So best viewing can be exactly where?
Brewster Field has been opened. Brewster generously opened up their campus for one day because they've been closed because of COVID and for the safety of their students. But they opened it up for one day so that people can be very respectful, clean up their refuge after themselves, and don't crowd as much as you possibly can. And they're opening up their field so people can watch the fireworks from there. You can watch them from the town docks. A lot of times you can see them from even roads just along town. I can almost see most of them from my neighborhood, and I'm a mile from downtown. So it's going to be a wonderful fireworks display, and I thank them.
And, of course, if you know anyone with a boat,
yes,
that would be a fantastic way to see the fireworks.
Yeah, you can float in the bay.
Yeah, that's the only way to. Do you ever see them from the air?
No.
Back when I worked in Laconia,
yep.
One of the employees had a private pilot's license and used to rent a plane from Laconia Airport and had a microwave link and would actually be on the radio talking, you know, about traffic and the fireworks and the whole bit. It was really weird being up there in that thing with that one little engine going. If this thing quits, well, I'm a charcoal briquette.
Yeah.
Single engine planes make me very nervous. I don't know why.
Well, I can understand because I've had my car stall before.
Exactly. Yeah. No one ever fell 50,000 feet out of a Cadillac.
No. So,
well, not 50,000 feet, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
In our last couple of minutes, I did want to talk about the ICE rates because a lot of families are into hockey.
Yep.
And it's a relatively significant expense, ice time.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a current rate structure.
Yep.
And the new rates will be negotiated later, correct?
Yep. And if you look at the Parks and Rec put together the New Hampshire Rink Rate Survey for January of 2020. And if you look at the...
Oh, here it is.
Yeah, it's on the back page.
Yep, I got... Okay,
yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Here
and,
it is.
Yeah, and if you look at our rates are in line with or cheaper than everybody else. So, I mean, they're due this increase, and it's fine. It's going to be. I mean, the prime rate is going to go up by $10, and the non-prime rate is going to go up by $10. But still, with the increase, we're still going to be some of the cheapest ice in the state.
All right. So it's not the end of the world increase. It's not
no.
a gigantic increase.
No. I mean, Phillips Andover, I mean, they charge, where is theirs? I just saw theirs recently. They charge $370 for an hour of ice. Ours is going to be $215.
Okay, and that's the new rate.
Yep, that's the new rate. So the cheapest on this last year's survey was the Tilton School at $185, but most of the others are still going to be $20, $30, $40 or more than what our rates are.
Unfortunately, we are out of time, Brian, Mr. Deshays. Thank you very much for being with us and telling us what's going on in and around the town and. What's going on behind the scenes?
Thank you for having me, Eric.
Thank you. 1 o'clock, news is next.